title of the message tonight is What Jesus Did Not Need. What Jesus Did Not Need. John chapter 6 and verse 9, let's all stand together as we read just one verse. Very familiar verse. You've probably heard countless messages on this. In John chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Brother Colton, can you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good crowd tonight. Thank you for coming back. Appreciate that. Beautiful outside. We don't get to see that very often. I'm glad that it's nice outside tonight. I love to see miracles. This is probably one of the most famous miracles in all of the Bible. If you think about the miracles of Christ, feeding of the 5,000 plus, however many women and children there as well. You see this miracle in here, and this is one of the, again, the most well-known miracles. Everybody could just about tell you about the feeding of the 5,000. You got Jesus walking on the water and things of that nature, but almost everybody can tell you a little bit about this. And I've, again, heard many, many, many messages about this particular passage, but I want to point out a few things to you. I don't want to keep you long tonight, but I believe that we get ourselves into a position where we come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is no longer doing miracles. We get ourselves into a position where we're just going to hold down faithful until Jesus comes. We get ourselves into a position where we become satisfied with what Jesus has done in our lives in the past. We're not really interested in Jesus doing anything more. We're happy with the status quo. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's a sad place to live. It's a sad place to be. I believe Jesus is still doing things. I believe Jesus is still working miracles. I believe they happen every single day. You get 3 days in a row full of sunshine, Jesus just did a miracle in Cleveland, Ohio. There's no doubt about that. But I want to point out a few things to you, and I want to take this from a little bit different angle. I want to take this, what does Jesus need for miracles? You can, you know, kind of play with that a little bit, and we'll get to that a little bit at the end of the message. But I want to start out with what he did not need, what Christ did not need for a miracle. We can try to put miracles in a test tube and look at them and diagnose them and try to figure out exactly what it takes to have one or whatever, but I'm going to look at what Jesus did not need, and the first thing I want to come to is the very first statement of that verse. There is a lad here. What Jesus did not need is a great man to get this miracle done. We do not need, and I love these people, we do not need world-class preachers to come here to get miracles done. We do not need some great, well-known speaker to come in here to get miracles done. I'm glad to have them. I'm thrilled that we have the great preachers come here. It's wonderful to get to speak with them. It's wonderful to get to go over what they've done. But I've got to be honest with you, Lester Roloff, Jack Hiles, Tom Malone, name all the greats that you can think of, do not need to be here for Christ to do a miracle. They do not. They do not have to have some special kind of a great, wonderful man walk in here that does some great and wonderful thing to have a miracle get done. All we need is somebody. He did not need a great man. He did not need, by the way, what the boy did not have. You know, a lot of times we think about, well, I can't do this for Christ because I don't have that. I got to be honest with you. Christ isn't looking for what you don't have. Christ isn't looking for what you don't have. Christ is looking for what you do have. See, it's amazing to me that we think, well, I can't do this because I can't speak well, or I can't go out soul winning because I don't know how to talk to people. God's not interested in that. He's interested in you taking out soul winning, or you going to prayer, or you reading your Bible with what you have, with what God has given you. What did Christ did not need? He did not need a great man. He did not need anybody special to get a miracle done. Number two, he did not need a great and wonderful worship team or team of people to get a miracle done. You do not have to have a new program. You do not have to have a new group of people come out. You don't have to have something magnanimous to come in and have Christ do a miracle. Christ did not need that whole group of godly people to get a miracle done. Number three, This miracle, he did not need a buffet of food. He did not need a buffet of food. Look at what this Bible says. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. That is not even main course for one independent fundamental Baptist person. Those better be 2 ginormous walleye fish dipped in thick batter with ginormous bread and butter. And lots of it, not the low-fat stuff either, the good sweet cream churned butter. Praise the Lord. Warm bread would be the best. Christ did not need food laid out in front of him. Christ did not need people to run into town and buy the food. Christ did not need some special caterer to come in. Christ did not need a whole group of cows to come walking through. Although that wouldn't have been too bad. I'd rather have beef than fish. Somebody say amen. But I got to be honest with you. What Christ needed, he did not need the things that everybody else would imagine that you would need for some great miracle. I'm going to tell you, we're talking about a tent revival. We're talking about a tent revival for next year. I want a miracle. No, wait a minute now. I tell you, I get irritated with church people sometimes. I really do. I'm not going to be satisfied with 50 people sitting underneath the tent listening to us preach. I'm not going to be satisfied. I'm not going to be satisfied. By the way, let me help you out a little bit. I think we need to bring fellas in, but we don't need them to have Christ do a miracle. I think that we need to pray like we've never prayed before. I think we need to do the things that we ought to do and ask God to come down in a special, miraculous way, because I just don't want to have a blue and white tent or red and white or whatever color you pick. I don't want to have a tent sitting out there just to sit out there just to say that we had a tent revival. I think Brother John ought to start on thinking about the music today. I think we ought to start preparing today. I think we ought to think about the things that we need for that thing today. I think that we ought to want Christ to do something miraculous today. I think that we ought to want Christ to show up today. I think we ought to want Christ to be part of it today. Here's the problem. We should have asked him to be present tonight. Christ does not need big bands. Christ does not need the greatest singers in the whole wide world. Christ just needed this boy. He does not need a buffet of food to make miracles happen. By the way, he does not need a smaller goal. Think about that for a minute. You know, set your sights a little lower on the bus ministry. Hogwash. What's your goal, Brother Bill? You have to have a goal. What's your goal? He wants to have 150 on the buses. Let me tell you something. Oh, that's impossible. Don't settle for a smaller goal than that. Attainable goals. Let me ask you a question, Brother Mike. Do you think it was an attainable goal for Christ to feed everybody with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Well, he's Christ. That God lives in me. You know, sometimes you think, well, you're speaking foolish. I'd like to see 500 underneath that tent. You're just crazy enough to pray for 1,000. No, listen. I want to see 500 underneath that tent, and I don't think that's a stretch. And I'm not going to take a smaller goal. Well, preacher, you don't understand. In this day and age, an 8-day tent revival, I tell you, by the time we get to day number 8, I hope we have 1,200 and want to keep right on going. I'm not praying for a lackluster day. I'm not praying for a day that falls short because it messes up my baseball schedule. Somebody say amen tonight. I'm not worried about what else is going on in the world for that 8 days. I would to God every person under the sound of my voice would unplug from the things of the world for 8 days and just worship God for a while. He doesn't need your iPod to make it work. He doesn't need your BlackBerry to make it work. He doesn't need your iPad, iMac. He doesn't need any of that stuff to make it work. He doesn't need Facebook, doesn't need any computer. Let me tell you, God will let people know. You just pray. Let's settle in our hearts that we want to see something bigger than just a little crowd. And I'm not going to shorten up the goal, preacher. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to shorten up the goal. I want God to do something wonderful. God can still do it. He still does it every day. God does wonderful things, miraculous things. We refuse to see Him. We refuse to accept Him and refuse to believe that God still does. It's easier for us to cower in fear and say, well, God can't do it. He will. He will do it. What does He need? He needs somebody. Do you know the name of the lad? Pretty famous boy. I believe we're going to get to see him in heaven. Yep. His name is David. Oh, I don't know his name. All he needed was someone. Someone was walking around with food that day. It's amazing, in that big crowd of Baptists, only one person had food. Yeah. That just doesn't make sense. Certainly there was a preacher somewhere in there that had fried chicken. I don't know. Every preacher has fried chicken somewhere in their pockets or a lunch bag full or something. He needed someone. Wasn't a special someone. Why couldn't it be a teenager? You know what I get tired of hearing? That I can't. I can't. I can't pass a test, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. No, it's not anything about your can't. You won't. You won't. You won't. See, here's the thing. Nobody has come to me adversely about this 8 days. That's amazing to me. I thought sure people have been marching to my door. 8 days? Are you crazy? Here, let me tell you about crazy. I'd like to have morning sessions too. Why? You know what? It would do us worse to get involved with God for 8 days. It would do us worse. Boy, I'm losing you now. Preacher, you should have stopped 5 minutes ago. It would do you worse to come in here preaching twice in a day. I don't want to. Then you won't. But God doesn't need you, the ones that won't. Colton, He needs the ones that will. He just needs someone. He just needs someone. I wonder if that someone's going to be you. He needs someone to give what they have. I know I went over this before, but Brother Michael, He didn't ask for what you don't have, son. Do you have $1 million? Because if you did, you and I'd be best friends. But you don't have $1 million. You know what's wonderful? Stop. Do you know what's wonderful? He's not asking for $1 million from you. Do you know what's wonderful about tithing? Why? How did you get on money in the middle of miracles? Because it'd be a miracle if you tithe. Amen. He didn't ask you for 10% of what I make. He didn't ask you for 10% of what Tiffany makes, which is nothing because I've got a daughter that just doesn't want to do anything. He didn't ask you for 10% of what somebody... He asked you for 10% of what you make. What a good God we serve. God knows who you are. He knoweth your frame. He's looking for somebody today that will stop looking in the past for Dr. Hiles to come back. Stop looking in the past for Brother Malone to come back. Stop looking down in Longview, Texas for Dr. Gray to come back. Stop looking in Kentucky for Brother Fugate to go. Hey, listen, God wants you. He wants you. He wants someone tonight that cares enough about having miracles in their life that they're willing to give what God gave to them. Why won't you pray? Because you don't believe your prayers matter. But they do matter. Why? Because they're yours. Didn't ask you to pray my prayers. I asked you to pray your prayers. I didn't ask you to read my Bible. I asked you to read your Bible. I didn't ask you to do something beyond your ability. I asked you to do what your ability has. Christ needs someone. Well, glory to God. All those revivals can't happen again. Don't tell me that we can't have 5,000 out there in that church. Don't you tell me that. I get sick and tired here, bro. Billy Sunday did all these wondrous things in the tabernacle. Billy Sunday's dead. Hello? Billy Sunday's dead. This lad didn't come out and say, hey, listen to me. Listen, this is good stuff. You know, the lad didn't come and say, Jesus, I would do this, but I don't have what Moses had. Huh? Jesus would have looked at him and say, hey, dummy, Moses is dead. Moses is gone. We are what we have. He's looking for someone. Someone. Don't look around the room. He's not looking for someone else. He's looking for someone tonight. Someone. It's amazing to me that we try to pawn off miracles on someone else. Well, if a preacher would get right, we'd have miracles. You can keep praying for that. I've been with him long enough to know he ain't going to get right. I got news for you. I try to be as much as I can a copy of him. I'm not going to get right neither. So you guys might as well get right for us. Not only do we need someone, and what that person has, we need someone that's willing to give it. I don't know. Lots of speculation on what this was. From a lunch to something he was going around selling things to people. And I don't know what this was. But I do know this. It was what he had. And when this offering was presented to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ took what he had, only what he had, and fed all those people with it. He's looking for someone. Do you want to see miracles? I don't know about you, but this day and age, what's perplexing to me is that when the Bible speaks of lukewarm people, we are immersed in lukewarm people. We're immersed in them. I was trying to be nice tonight. It's hard for me when people don't want to serve God. It's hard for me when people can just go ahead and live day after day after day with the same mustard pews. I'm sorry. It makes me want to create this color. Did you get it? Good job. Let me explain something to you. I want more than this. I want more, and it's going to take God to get it. Wait a minute. You say, well, we don't have all that money. I know someone who does. And he's only asking for what you have. See, what's amazing to me is this. We are really ready to live day after day, coming to Bethel Baptist Church, enjoying, and I hope you're enjoying the preaching, and enjoying the music, and enjoying the choir, and getting excited. It will be worth it all when we see. What will be worth it all? Or let me stay right there for a little while. What will be worth it all? What? What will be worth it all? What do we do? It will be worth it all, 'cause I do nothing. I'm not giving up that much, so my life Jesus won't touch. One glimpse of his dear face, I'm not sure I'm going to see it. You know, it's amazing to me that we're okay with status quo. You're okay with lukewarm. And you can try to point a finger at a program. It's not about a program. Christ needs someone. Christ needed someone, and it wasn't even a spectacular someone. It was a boy. It was a lad. It was someone that was there with something that Christ could use. It didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense that God would do the things that he did. But I got to be honest with you. I would love to be inundated for a while with things that don't make sense from God. A willing offering. You know what else he needed? He needed someone. And by the way, you're that someone. He needed something, a willing offering, something that you're willing to give him. He needed hungry people. I worry. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. I worry. Jesus looked out on the multitude and saw their desire to eat. Ah, well, preacher, this is just a hunger issue. Yes, it really, really is. It's a hunger issue to where they knew that there was nowhere else for them to turn. Couldn't go back into town. They may faint in the way. Michael, if you were the one with the food, And there was 5,000 men. And all you had was, I don't care what you call it, it's not enough. And someone asked you to give up what you had. Everyone around you starving, but you've got food. This day and age, the kids would be like, whatever. How much are you willing to pay for it? The lad willingly gave his food. Willingly gave his food. Why? Because Jesus saw the need. You know the $64,000 question is coming. Does Jesus see a need here? Boy, it's quiet. Does Jesus see a need to show you a miracle? Does Jesus see a need? Does he look out on these multitudes of people and see a hungry people? When's the last time you starved to read your Bible? When's the last time you starved to go and pray? I'm going to throw myself in this boat too, believe me. You know what my hunger is for? My hunger is for Jesus to come down and stay down. Huh? We've seen it. Don't you lie to me. You know you've seen it. You act like you've never seen it, but you've seen it. You saw it when our preacher was sick. And I know I keep coming back to that, but I tell you what, give me a new one and I'll stop going back that far. I'm hungry, Brother Meyer. I want something more than this. I want miracles. When Christ looks down, what does he see out of you? One hungry person? Two? Three hungry people? Because it took more than 3, 4, 5, 10. It took more than that. It took more than 15 or 20 and 100. It took more than that. It took a hungry multitude, a hungry multitude. Christ needed to go ahead and see a people that needed to be filled. He saw a people that needed to be blessed. He saw a people that needed him. It's not your job that keeps you going. It's not your livelihood that keeps you alive. It's Christ. I was working up a message on pride. I truly believe pride is the literal foundation for every problem we have. I believe that with all my heart. Pride is the very first thing that comes along to stop you from praising God. It really is. If you get pride, the Bible says pride goeth before a fall. It's amazing to me, every fall, I believe, starts with pride. It comes to a position where you think you deserve a miracle. Hey, listen, Bethel, we've served God for so long. We've waited so long. We've prayed so long. Certainly, God. No, God's not interested in that. God's interested in you being hungry. God's interested in you desiring to see a miracle. Why? So he can show the world that he still lives. And show the world that he still breathes. And show the world that he still works. And shows the world that he can still save people, even today. We're so mired in our own lives, lackluster lives, that if we saw a miracle, we wouldn't even know what it looked like. I'm telling you, Christ wants to do something here. He wants to do it. He needs a hungry people. Don't let the reason that you went out of this building be because our air conditioner ain't that good. Don't let the reason that you went out of this building because our sound system fails all the time. Don't have the reason that you went out of this building because you want to show people that we're so great. All of that's pride. You went out of this building because you want to tell the people that God did it. God's looked out on the multitudes. He looked out on them and said, man alive, they're hungry and they need me. I'm going to tell you, folks, we need Christ today. We need him today. Right now, today, we need him. And what's happened is we've got this point in our life where we don't believe we need him anymore. We don't believe that he has to be here anymore. We believe that, oh, our coffee's good enough, and our music's good enough, and our choir's good enough, and our preaching's good enough, and our organ and piano playing's good enough. All this is good enough. We don't need God. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want a lackluster Bill Turner sitting here playing this organ. I want a God-filled, Christ-working Bill Turner playing the organ. Why? Because he'll do real good then. I'm not interested in the talent he brings to this church. I'm interested in the talent that he brings to Christ. And I'm hungry to see what God can do with us. But nobody brought any food. Nobody brought any willing offering. Nobody came hungry. Do you know why our buses are doing so good right now? Because you've got hungry people. You've got hungry people that want to see kids come to church. I'm telling you right now, one of the greatest messages, I believe this all my heart, that's ever been preached. I believe that. You can say what you want. I know he's my dad. But one of the greatest messages I've ever heard this morning was that message. What's good about hell? I have a question for you. How many went away hungry? You say, well, preacher, I thought you were supposed to go away full from... Not from that kind of message. We should be hungry with no answer. Stay with me, please. Did anybody else have any food? Nobody offered any. Did anybody else have anything to give? Was there somebody leading a cow through the congregation at the time? No. But there was a big bunch of hungry people that knew they had nowhere else to turn. Nowhere else to go. They had been taken off of their high horse. They had been removed from their prestigious position of being great people. And came to the realization that they needed him. They were in a position where they needed Christ. Have you ever needed him? Well, I'm not talking to get you out of a ticket. Or God, if you get me through this, I promise I'll serve you. I knew when he was laying in that hospital bed, there was nothing man could do. Right? I mean, we were all there. There was nothing man could do. We needed him. We needed Christ to do something wonderful. Huh? We were hungry. Good night, the one Sunday, I couldn't even get through the announcements and people were coming up to the altar to pray. Why? You were hungry. You were hungry for more. I'm amazed at a message like what's good about hell and having people still in their seats. I'm amazed at that. And I'm not knocking any. Please reflect on you tonight. Don't look around the room. If this was a fried chicken buffet, huh? But there was something much greater here. A need to know that hell is real. A need to know that hunger to keep people out of it really ought to be there. A need to have more out of Christ than just beautiful sermonettes for Christianettes. A need for God to come down in the same way that he's come down all throughout history. A need. A hungry people, a desirous people that want to see God do more than just status quo. Glory to God, our lights are still on. That's not enough. Glory to God, we've got carpet. That's not enough. Glory to God, we've got padded pews. That's not enough. We've got hymnals and new ones for the choir. Our choirs, that's not enough. I want to see God do something wonderful. And to have that, we're going to need a hungry people. Let me ask you a question. This is profound. You know how I do with this. Very, very profound. If the people weren't hungry, would he have made food? If the people weren't hungry, would he have made food? Why isn't Christ doing anything? Are we hungry? Because I'm not sure that Christ feels that he's needed. If we allow Christ to come down in a special way, to do something wondrous, to come down and work a wondrous miracle in this church. And by the way, he can and he will. Do you know what else he's going to need? Why like this? He's going to need some baskets. He's going to need some baskets, Brother Colton. Do you know why he's going to need some baskets, Brother Colton? Because there's going to be so much blessing. There's going to be so much blessing that even after you're filled, there's going to be a whole lot left over for others. There's going to be a whole lot left over that other people can partake in. There's going to be a whole lot left over. Let me ask you a question. You get some on-fire hot preaching out there at that church property in an open-air tent with some good old speakers. You're going to tell me that you're not going to need baskets to contain the spillage? You're going to tell me that when Christ comes down and 500 people walk into that tent and 500 people hear the preaching of the Word of God and 500 people get excited about Christ and at day three, day four, you don't think that there's going to have to be baskets outside saying, "Glory to God, preacher, look how many people got saved. Glory to God, look how many lives got changed. Glory to God, and they're still coming. Hey, anybody got some baskets? We need somewhere to put the fragments." See, I guarantee you, when the boy brought five loaves and two fishes, I guarantee you the boy thought, "Wow, somebody's going to get to eat, but it's only going to be one somebody." But I'm going to tell you, even after that, he just kept feeding. Can you imagine being there? I wish our offerings worked that way. Miss Rosie just keep taking it out of the plate. I don't know. I can't get to the end of this. And it kept unloading and kept unloading. The boy's probably said, "Wow. If it was for sale, Jesus, would you mind walking with me for a while? I think we could make a lot of money together." But the boy watched everybody eat. Do you think the lad didn't watch what his miracle turned into? What his little fish turned into? Have you ever seen your prayer get answered? Have you ever seen your miracle come? The one you've been praying for? The one you were hungry for? What do you think the boy felt? The boy got to watch fish after fish after fish. And that's gross. I got to be honest with you. I think I'd be at the end of that line. But bread's good. And person after person after person after person after person after person is hungry. Oh, person after person hungry, but they were filled. Person after person were filled. Person after person were filled. And it just kept coming. Do you not think the boy was excited to see what had happened with the little gift he gave? Do you not think he was excited to see? Well, I know I only gave him five loaves and two fishes. All that together is only seven. There's 12 baskets here. I'm not very good at math, but I'm going to tell you, that just doesn't seem right. I'm looking at all this stuff left over. Jesus, you must be incredible. Do you not think the boy got a little excited over what God did with what he had? I wonder if God could get excited over what you've got and do something miraculous with it. As I looked over this message, I must admit, I'm not hungry enough. I'm not hungry enough. I want to be more hungry. I want to be hungry to see the God that I serve, the God that I read about, the God that I love. I want to see him do something wonderful. But to do that, I'm going to have to be more hungry. I'm going to have to give him what I've got. I remember Brother Hiles used to preach a message that Joel Boyd surrendered to preach the same time he did. He says, I can't give everything that Joe Boyd could give. But I can give all the Jack Hiles I've got. They made a statement. Look what God did with the gift I gave him. The gift of yourself. The gift of what you have. It doesn't have to be special. It just has to be given. Are we hungry enough? Jesus doesn't need a great man. He just needs someone. God doesn't need a group of people that are going out and making magnanimous statements. God just needs a willing offering. God doesn't need a buffet of food. He just needs hungry people. God doesn't need a smaller goal. God needs you to bring baskets. We had a goal of 1,000. I'll never forget, preacher said, we're going to have 1,000. I don't know how many were there, but I know it was 1,000. I'm going to tell you, don't be surprised if the goal you have, God surpasses if you're hungry. If you're hungry. Bethel, we must be hungry. Hungry to see God do great things. And don't you dare look around the room. Don't do it. God's not looking to get out of you what Mike Sells has. I know I keep saying this, but this is something you need to know. God's not interested in getting out of me what Colton has. He's interested in getting out of me what I have. Only what I have. God is so good to us, he's not asking you for more than you have. He's only asking you for what you do have. And if we'll give it freely and be a hungry people, God will do wondrous, miraculous things for us. You know, the tent revival is a long time away, but it's closer than you think. We want to start praying now. We want to start fast. I've already begun praying for it because I want to see God do something wonderful. There's just something about a tent. There's just something about that open air. There's just something about shucking the corn in the open air tabernacle. I can't wait to lose my voice in that place. But I don't want to come full. I want to come hungry. I hope we all come hungry. I hope this next year we spend hungry, hungry to see God do something wonderful. I love to see miracles. I love to see them. God still does them, but he does them for the hungry. I wonder if we could be hungry, hungry to see God do something wonderful. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this night. Lord, what you do in your Bible a lot of times just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's amazing how often men try to make sense out of it, Lord, but I wish there'd be times that we just showed up hungry with a grand desire to see you do something great, with a grand desire to see that lost loved one that we've been praying for so long get saved, with a grand desire to see folks come forward and give their life to the ministry. A grand desire to see the furtherance of your kingdom, not our agenda. Lord, let us be a hungry people. Let us be a thirsty people. Let us have a desire that even in 2014, see, I know the people talk about the times changing. Yeah, that may be true, God, but you haven't changed. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe with all my heart that you can do it one more time here in Northeast Ohio. You can do it one more time in any state you want to pick. God, you can do it. You just need a hungry people. You just need a people that know that they need you. Lord God, let us know. Put down in our heart that we must have you. We must have you. Because everything we do on our own accord fails. But everything you do through us is a wondrous success. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I'm wondering, would there be one in here that'd be willing to say, you know what? I don't even know the Lord is my Savior. I've never even been hungry enough to get saved. No idea what that's even about. But I sure would like to know. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So simple. But you still have to accept it. Would there be one that would be willing to raise their hand in testimony that I really don't know, but I sure would like to know? I will not embarrass you. I will not come to you, I promise. But I certainly will pray for you. Would there be one? Would you put your hand up real big and tall? That means I'm in a room full of saved people. Bethel Baptist Church, we need to be hungry. We need to have a desire to see Christ do something miraculous. Not just the status quo, not just the average, but miraculous. Because if we have that hunger, if we have that inside of us, we have a desire. We have a desire to see God do something great. I believe He'll do it. Because I'm going to be honest with you. If the people aren't hungry, why in the world would God make food? If the people aren't thirsty, why in the world would God give them something to drink? But if we hunger and we thirst after righteousness, Christ has promised us that we will be filled. So it's just on us. Are we hungry? Are we thirsty? Do we want to see God do something? I hope and pray that that answer is yes. Dear Jesus, please be with me personally. Lord God, let me have a greater desire to see you do something wonderful. Let me have a greater desire, a hunger for more miracles, Lord, a hunger for a furtherance of your kingdom, Lord, a hunger to see you do something great right here at Bethel Baptist Church, a hunger for that, Lord, that only can be done by you, not by man, not by our talents, but what you have through us. Oh God, please, let us take that seriously. Let us take that hunger and thirst seriously, and Lord, let us realize that we need something more. Lord God, be with this invitation. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.